Welcome to the Down and Dirty Podcast, the ultimate guide to modern midlife dating. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I'm here to help you navigate the challenges of today's dating world. Think of me as your female version of Hitch, but better. With over 16 years of experience as a certified image consultant and dating coach, I've got the inside scoop on what women want. In this podcast, we're diving deep into the world of healthy masculinity and modern dating. It's a fast-changing industry, and here you'll find personal stories, expert insights, and candid conversations that will empower you to take control of your dating life. There's never been a better time to achieve your desired outcome, whether it's marriage, finding a significant other, securing a life partner, or simply regaining your dating confidence. We're here with you twice a week to explore the viewpoints and challenges in today's dating arena that resonate with every man seeking dating success and love. So let's dive into today's episode. We've got an exciting discussion lined up for you. Get ready for the double D's of dating, where dating dilemmas turn into dating triumphs. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. Thanks again for jumping on here and listening to the show. It absolutely means the world to me, and I'm forever grateful for all the amazing guests that I get to interview and continue to educate everyone listening here. If you feel so inclined, please leave a review, and a 5-star rating never hurts. It really brings the show to the forefront, and that in turn like helps everybody because they have content that can where they can bring back these pieces of information to your relationship. And who doesn't want to have a healthy, happy relationship? But before I jump into today's episode, I would love to introduce my guest today. I'm so excited to have her. Her name is Maria Fuentes, and she is a self-mastery coach that specializes in helping individuals take ownership of their emotions, confidence, and relationships. So Maria, thank you so much for being on today's show.
Well, thank you for having me, gorgeous. I'm so excited to be here.
Just to tell everybody a little bit how we met, you know, a couple weeks ago, some of you may know, some of you may not. I was just scrolling down Instagram, and maybe it was like 1 a.m. and I see this like convention, this like thing that's happening in Dallas, which is only like a 3-hour drive for me. And long story short, I said yes. And I didn't know anybody that was going. I just knew this was something for me to stretch myself, stretch my business. I don't know. It just felt like big, fucking scary, big stuff happening. But I knew that this was supposed to happen. And at the very end, at the very last day, Maria and I got a special invite to an extra small little get together of about 25 people or 35 people, something like that, out of 500. And we sat next to each other and we just started having this conversation. And you are the most amazing. Like, I love your energy. I don't know, something just, we really hit it off. And then I get to find out that you are like, you're a relationship coach, basically. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to talk.
Yes, and same. I felt the energy. And we were both kind of in that breakfast. We were like, what are we doing here? Why did we get selected? And talk about timing. And just really when you ask for more from the universe, God, it really does give you more. And I think we both had that aha moment, like, we're like shifting, you know, we're tapping into new energy here. And it was amazing. And I loved connecting with you.
Yeah. Well, and then I was like, okay, you've got to come on my show. We've got to talk about what you do and who you help. And I love what you teach, but do you predominantly teach women, men, age groups?
Yes, I would say mostly women. And when I started this work, I started my own personal journey like 4 years ago with my own therapy because I was in such a bad, dark place. And so I was in a victimhood mentality. So much of what would happen to me just felt like uncontrollable and like it was just happening. Life was just happening to me. And I decided to make a shift. And so when I got into this work, I decided I want to help the woman that I needed back in those days in that time, right? Because unless it was therapist, I really didn't have anyone in my atmosphere that would help me kind of navigate those emotions and the lack of confidence and the unhealthy relationships that I kept finding myself in, whether they were romantic relationships or friendships. So my goal is always to help women in that past version of who I was that I didn't have back then.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. I really feel that you can feel extra, extra lost if you don't have a support system. And like many of us live in different states or cities from family or from even good friends when we were in college, like everybody's kind of moved on from a specific area. And I don't know if that's the case for you, but it definitely was for me. So to have someone like you who not only is there for them, but it has gone through these experiences, so you really understand what they need.
Right. I think sometimes that's so powerful. Hand holding, you know, mm-hmm. we need somebody outside of our immediate group. Like you said, as we grow, we transition, we move. When we want to shift into a new energy and a new person, a new persona, become that person that we can't stop thinking about, right? The higher version of ourselves. Sometimes the people around us aren't along for the ride. And so you can't have these conversations with the people closest to you, your best friends or your boyfriend or whoever. And I think that's where coaches and mentors are so important, because they're able to come in as an outsider and have that experience and kind of have the life that maybe you already want or see yourself having. And they're able to guide you and kind of fast forward you to that. I always tell people, I'm like, listen, I've spent thousands of dollars on therapists, hypnotherapists, spiritual like guidance, all this inner work. And now I get to teach you just the short version of it, the shortcuts, right? What I've learned through my own healing and through my own suffering as well.
Man, you're telling me. I mean, that's probably what makes us amazing coaches. Yeah. Through our suffering. Let me make this so you don't have to go, you know, let me help you so you don't have to go through this and experience right. this. Yeah, that can be frustrating too, because you can see something so clearly for someone and sometimes they just don't want to really hear it.
Right.
You know, they want your help. Like, I'm not telling you like it's just some random person. You're like, oh, you need some help. But they actually come to you and there's, you know, Maria, like, I need this. But how do you kind of move past that? Like, do you have a specific, maybe some tools or some coaching that you can work through some of those? Like the client that obviously hired you wants your services, but is still like really, really stuck in the fact that there's still that like block.
Yeah. I try to prep everyone and talk to them, and I make it very self-led. To the extent of, I'm only going to take you as far as you want to go, right? I can't push anyone to have these breakthroughs if they're not ready. Mm-hmm. And even though I feel like a lot of people, I can't see their blind spots because it's so much easier to see it on somebody else's life, right, than it is your own. I can't push them outside of their comfort zone unless they're willing and ready to go through it. So a lot of my coaching is done actually through programs. I don't do a lot of one-on-one coaching. And when I do, I try to make it as selective as possible because I really do want to work with just that one individual that's ready to really transform their life to the next level. Whereas my programs, I feel like are more self-led and they're able to just hit pause, come back to another module, kind of work as they want. I actually had a program called Be Your Own Muse, and it was just designed to become your own source of inspiration. So I like making my stuff more self-led because that's how I learn as well. Like I said, I had to go through trial and error, going to therapy, going and doing all these things that even though I had those therapists and all these people, amazing people helping me, it was my own, let me sit down, let me journal, let me sit with my thoughts, let me really dig in deep to who I am and what I want to become that really transformed my life. Because everything else was just tools. Like you were saying, I'm just another toolbox or another tool in the toolbox, right? So I will navigate people and help them as much as they're willing to, but I'm very selective with my one-on-one coaching just because of that and the energy, right? We only have, I say it on Instagram all the time, I only have so much energy to give, right? So I create these programs because I really want to give it my all so that whoever's meant to hear, whoever's meant to take in that information and really transform their life, they will. And then the one-on-one coaching is even more of my energy that I feel like I have to be selective on who is able to obtain that and tap into. And it's what I teach too. I don't think, it's not just me. I think we should all be very selective to who has our energy and who taps into our energy source.
Yeah, I love that you just said that because this is almost to the, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, this is something that hit me very hard. And I was like, oh my God, I am putting too much energy into, I have great clients, but wanting to build that is not going to be conducive. I mean, one, I give a lot of myself. I love what I do. And I mean, like, so much fun, but I'm like, how many people can I help? Yeah. And so that is just like beautiful. And you know, like you said, everybody learns in a different way and at their own pace. And so giving that program to your clients really allows them to either really like, okay, I just need like, let me fast forward or let me take 3 months or whatever. I don't know what they look like or how long the modules are, but no, I love that approach. And I think you like hit the nail on the head with like, your time is very valuable, just like everybody else's. And how you spend that is really important to you.
Yeah. Have you ever had those days where you're like, I did nothing productive, but my energy's drained?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so many of us do that. And it's because we have, I call it leaky energy syndrome, right? Like we end up leaking our energy to all these things that don't matter. And at the end of the day, we're like, wow, I did nothing that filled my cup. I did nothing that, you know, I didn't check anything off the list. I didn't do anything that really moved the needle. But I'm so drained. So then you go into the next day with that energy. And I've learned that I have to protect my energy. And I'm also a little introverted. So even being at that event with you, like the mornings where we had to network and get out of our like routine and stuff, that really kind of threw me off, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, like my energy is going to be going to be all over the place now. And I think it's, and not everyone's like that. I think some people are more extroverted and they do well with exerting their energy everywhere. I think it's a very personal thing, but we should all self-mastery, right? That's why I always go back to us. So you have to become the master of yourself and understand yourself to a deeper level.
Yeah, that's so profound too. Like it's not just with, like you said, in relationships, it's in your work environments, meeting new friends, like just the whole part of life. And the more that you have self-mastered or understanding those needs and wants and desires and the things that fill your cup, the things that drain your cup. That's so huge to know that. Cause I don't think a lot of people are self-aware enough to even know. They just know, oh my God, like you said, today was like so draining and I didn't do really anything.
Right. Yeah, totally. And I think a lot of it's because we created this persona of who we think we should be and we're not living in our true authentic selves. Right. So we're living either for society, the people around us. And if we really look back and think of the things even that we enjoyed in childhood, a lot of what I teach is emotions. And we're taught to repress our emotions, to not show our authentic selves, to not show how we're feeling. I mean, starting from childhood, right? I studied psychology in college because it was something that really resonated with me is that the mind's so powerful. And I think where we are able to go back to who our true authentic selves is, obviously as adults now and with all the understanding and life experiences, we're able to tap into this is what I like and this is what I don't like. And then in relationships, then you are able to come in it clear and as a whole person and somebody that's grounded in who they are versus, I mean, I think I can speak for a lot of women here versus finding people to fill these voids of who we want because we don't know who we are and what we want.
So powerful. I literally just had this conversation this morning. You cannot give what you do not have. And we're so ingrained, especially as women, to give, to nurture, to give up our own self, our own, just for something else or for someone else. You know, whether it's like society values, religious, like if you look back, it's like on and on and on. And I think the more that you strip that away and you do for yourself and you're more in alignment with who you are, you've so much more to give and you're so much more happier and you're so much more like there's just so much more to give and that's like win-win.
Right. You're light and airy, right? It's a different energy. And I think as women, we overgive so much. And then I see it all the time. I see it with friends. I see it with clients. I see it with anyone that I talk to. And then what happens is that we feel drained and then we are exhausted and annoyed and then we get angry and then we become resentful towards the person that we were overgiving to when they probably never asked us to overgive and they probably would have enjoyed the softer, not overgiving person that we could have been instead that would have just been, you know, oozing of love and nurturance instead of the overgiving. But we do it because we want to feel loved and validated and feel like we are good for something, you know, in a weird way, that's like how we feel loved as women.
Yeah. Okay. We all have to stop that, ladies. Okay. It's not that we can't give, but once we've given to ourselves, right? Once we've like started to fill that cup and really, and I know it just so cliche almost to hear, and like, fill your cup up and then you have like more to give. But it really is true, because I'm some days, like, you know, it's just a monotony. It's like by the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I'm so drained. I wish I had more energy. Well, I probably could have if I just, you know, maneuvered a little bit different, did this instead of that. Like, the laundry can wait, the dishes can wait, all that stuff that's like minute. But if I did something that actually fulfilled my goal, like whatever my life goals, my business goals, my whatever, and stayed a little bit more on track, I would have been so much happier and probably had more to give, because I wouldn't have been so drained.
Right. And we try to take up a lot. We try to say, well, I can do it all. And I don't know about you, but being like a hyper independent woman, like where I was on my own at 19 and I didn't really want to rely on anyone. I was like, I have to do it all. I get to do it all. I will do it all. And it's breaking up with that, because that is a trauma response from our own childhood as well. Thinking that we can't rely on people and asking for help is vulnerability, and vulnerability means you're weak, and all these things and dilemmas that we like create in our heads that, you know what, if I know a lot of people don't have the money for it, but if like cleaning is something exhausting for you, hire a cleaning lady. It doesn't make you less of a person or of a woman if you decide that the hours in your day are better spent filling up your cup, working on things that you're passionate about, that's purposeful, spending time at your job, whatever it is, or your kids, whatever is in your environment. And I think when we start outsourcing things that we don't really care to do, we're like, oh, wait, now there's this like free time and free energy, like that we get to choose how we spend it. And I think that's a big, I started doing that myself, because I'm like, it's such a big difference, you know, really allowing myself to have that freedom.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important. And I'm glad that you're like, it's so powerful that you're able to know that this is such a need. And I think that, like you said, as women, we want to do it all because we're, you know, we're abandoned and we have trust issues. And if I do it, it'll just get done. I can do it better. I don't, you know, all of these stories that go on in our head. And I realize being a sole parent and also, you know, having, this is my third business now, like, you know, always doing everything. Okay, I hired this, I hired that, but still at the end of the day, I'm still doing 90% of it. That's not working for me. Like, let's adjust. Let's, you know, give myself that. And I think it's also about allowing, right? Being comfortable with allowing yourself that, because I think, I don't know why we have such an issue with the guilt or whatever is related to that.
Shame and guilt are like the hardest emotions for us to work past. Mm-hmm. But they're the most detrimental. So think of any time that you felt shame and guilt in any part of your life, you'll carry with that feeling and that energy for the rest of your life if you don't really allow it to go through, right? So if we feel ashamed of asking for help, that's something that we'll block ourselves from receiving for the rest of our lives, and we feel shame behind that. Or if we did something that now we feel guilty about and now we feel like we have to overcompensate or overgive, those are two really heavy emotions that can, even on a physical level, you'll carry it so heavily on you that you'll see people be like, I'm gaining weight and I don't even know how or why. And we'll hold it in our physical bodies. It'll cause stress. It'll cause illnesses. It'll cause all these different things. And those are two heavy emotions. And I think not only all humans deal with that, but I think as women, we deal with it more, the shame and the guilt, because we're told like, don't wear this, don't wear that. And there's this suppressing of being a woman that happens even as little girls.
Yeah. So we have to go to you and rewire that shit. You know, not too late, ladies. Even if you're my age, I'm 47. Like, you got to, like, there's no way that you can't rewire. You can't. I mean, it's not going to be easy. It's not like one day you're going to be like, I need to do that. And then you've got to implement tools. What are some of the tools that you work through or like offer to some of your clients? I know it varies, but like, just let's just say she does it all. How do you help her get past where she can start delegating or whatever it is that she needs to do?
I will layer it down to why she feels unworthy of asking for help, because I think that's what it comes down to, right? So once I start peeling off those layers, I'll ask, well, how do you feel when you ask for help? Well, I feel ashamed, or I feel guilty. Right. Or I feel there's always an emotion attached to asking for help. And then I try to figure out where that started, because that's a lot of the hypnotherapy work that I went through myself. Is there was a moment in time that you in your consciousness, it's not there, right? It's not something you're replaying, but it's stored in your subconscious that there was a time where you asked for help and somebody didn't show up, or you asked for help and somebody shunned you, or you asked for help and there was a negative emotion that came up that you never cleared. So your subconscious thinks it's not safe to ask for help. If you ask for help, you're going to be weak and you're going to get hurt because that emotion's still stored in your body from that first time that it ever happened, which is crazy. But we all operate. And I think that was one of my biggest aha moments that I had when I worked with a hypnotherapist. And he was like, we operate 90% of our day through our subconscious and we don't even realize it. We think consciously and we think we're not. We think we're doing everything, you know, with our conscious minds and thinking objectively and thinking of things black and white. But really, we're wired through our subconscious and all our past experiences. And we won't allow ourselves to get through that. So I try to work with people in that sense, like, okay, let's get back to like, where did this start? And how can we clear that energy? And how can we rewire it in a way, right? I do a lot of EFT tapping as well, some emotional freedom techniques where you hit your meridian points on your body, like acupuncture does, but it's tapping with your fingers. And just having that awareness of, I feel this emotion, I'm not going to judge the emotion, but I'm going to clear it out because it doesn't serve me, right? We're all energetic beings, and energies and energetics are so hard to describe and explain because they're unexplainable, right? We meet somebody, we feel this connection, like me and you, we felt this like energy, or you meet somebody and you're like, I don't want to be around that energy, right? Like, it's unexplainable, but it's there. Mm-hmm. So if we think of our emotions as stored and trapped energy in our bodies, then unless we learn how to release them, they're going to cause havoc. So I always go back to that, to like the essentials, the foundations of how can we release that negative energy, you know?
Yeah, that's got to be so powerful. I learned a little bit about EFT, but I haven't. I know there's like certain how many taps in certain parts of the body and, you know, like here. And so I think it's really cool. I think that it helps. I know from what I hear a lot with stress or anxiety. So like if you're in the moment and it's like a really anxious situation. So that's cool that you teach that. I love that.
Yeah. It's been so helpful in my life. And I learned it over 2 years ago, but I didn't really start implementing it until about a few months ago. And it's completely changed my day to day. Because like you said, stress and anxiety, those are all side effects of an emotion that hasn't been resolved. It's never what we're doing. But the days that I find myself stressed out at work, it's never work. It's that I didn't sleep well. It's that there's something like lingering in the back of my mind. It's that I feel out of control, right? Where I'm living too much in the future. There's always an underlying truth and reason to the stress or the anxiety. It's never the physical act that you're doing when you're feeling that emotion. That's usually the cause of it. There's always some underlying, you know, but we live in such a superficial world that instead of being like, well, let me sit with it, let me get uncomfortable, we're like, well, let me go have a glass of wine. Let me get on social media. Let me call a friend. Let me numb. Let me watch TV. Let me just avoid and numb and distract myself. But it all stays right there. It doesn't go away unless we actively point it out and say, all right, get out of here. You're when I tab, I always say, I don't need this emotion. I release it. It no longer serves me. And not ignoring it. I used to be afraid of my emotions to an extent, because I didn't understand it. So I was so reactive. I mean, I'm Latina, so of course I was reactive.
Yes. Spicy.
Very sexy. And especially with my ex-husband, like, if I felt an emotion, I would scream, I would yell, I threw shit. Like, of course I was so emotional and so afraid of my emotions. But there was never a time looking back that I felt really connected to him when I acted like that, because at the end of the day, that's what I wanted. I wanted to get a reaction on him, to feel that connection and that love. But I always got the off.
I don't. Funny how that happens.
So really understanding ourselves and why we do the things we do is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so important. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm not Latina, but I still, like, there's moments when my daughter just is like, I've had this conversation 10 times. And I just lose it. I never was like a yeller. I was more of like an avoider.
Yeah.
And now I just have these outbursts sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, that is not me. Like, I got to figure this out because this is not working. And then she just runs away. So like, nothing's happening. Good.
Yep. I mean, that's a whole different ballpark. Teenagers and the hormones and poor you.
Yes, I'm ready for this. Like, she's almost 17. I'm ready for like the getting better, but then someone's Someone told me that there's a, don't get excited until they're over like 22. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, no.
Because college, you know, I don't know. It's probably not as, you know, important, but you're always going to worry.
Yeah, for sure. There's always going to be your little girl, I'm sure, you know.
Yes, I mean, she, I would love that, but that's not the case. So I have to like learn how to grow with the pain and, you know, or learn to deal with the pain, the growing pains, however you want to say it, you know.
Yeah,
a whole nother situation. So what do you find that women really want out of a healthy relationship?
When it comes down to it, we all want connection and intimacy, emotional intimacy, right? I feel like men, and you'll speak more on the men's side, I feel like men are more physical, intimate, you know, like that's how they feel their intimacy and connection. They're more visual, they're more physical. But we want to be undressed with our emotions and really be touched emotionally, and we find intimacy to be sexy. But I do find that a lot of women nowadays are, we want that, but we do the opposite, right? And we will trade valid love, we'll trade actual love for easy, quick validation and admiration, right? We'll trade love and respect for validation and, you know, a few likes on Instagram and whatever else, instead of actually connecting emotionally as well. So it's just what we want, but we've gotten it so far from being able to achieve it nowadays, I feel.
Well, I think because there's a false sense of happiness that we're looking in other places, and you can't truly, truly be happy unless you are happy with yourself. So then you're not going to look for that, oh, he thinks I'm beautiful, or I have 10 likes, or I don't know what it is. But you're not looking for that self-gratification, that instant, like, false love, if you will, because you already are confident. You already know your worth. You already know that you're an amazing person and how much love you have to give. So I think what you do is so important because, you know, you're sharing not only your experiences, but you're teaching women how to truly like love themselves and not put up with this and not do this and, you know, start giving back to themselves.
Yeah, I think there's a beautiful balance that we all should learn of. I have standards, but I love myself so much that I will keep those standards instead of wanting things out of men because we lack and we want to fill those voids, right? When we're set, like I said earlier, in our foundation and who we are and we love ourselves, we won't care for the cheap compliments or the cheap likes or the hot guy liking us or whatever. We'll want that deeper connection. To me, that is cheap, right? We can't trade actual respect and love from somebody for admiration or likes or people liking us, you know, that's cheap for me. I think we should all hold ourselves to a higher standard, but first we have to give ourselves that. You know, I was talking to a friend about this the other day. I was like, the only reason my boyfriend treats me like a queen is because I treat myself like a queen, you know? Right? Like,
yes.
I have to start. And that didn't happen overnight. I did not have the self-confidence or this ability, not in my past relationship or my marriage, because I needed that relationship to make me happy. And the moment that it wasn't happy, my self-esteem, my confidence, everything was on the ground. That validation is what I needed to feel whole as a human. But now my relationship is just a beautiful bonus in addition to who I am in my life. And in every sense too, not my business used to be, well, you know, you run three businesses. Sometimes we'll put our validation towards our business. And if that's not doing well, then we lack confidence. We feel poorly about ourselves. So we find different ways to get this love and validation from other things or people. But then we have to like really look inside and be like, well, no one can love you as much as you love yourself. And that was an aha moment that I had as well, where I was like, well, Maria, I want to feel loved very deeply by somebody. But I was like, well, do I love myself that deeply? And the answer was no, I did not. There was parts of me I hated. I hated parts of my past. So I grew up in a very like shitty childhood with my parents, and I was very loved or nurtured. There was things that I've done in the past that I was ashamed of and I had guilt towards. And I was like, no, I don't love myself deeply. So I had to like learn to love the ugly, the darkness, the shadows, right? The things that we want to avoid in order to love yourself deeply. And I think I got kind of off track, but going back to what we want from men is we want that emotional connection. And if you're a man listening to this, don't get into a father role either, where you feel like you have to father this woman because she's needy. You know, a lot of men get into that role as well. find a woman that's very happy with herself. Don't try to come and ruin it, though. Find her, appreciate her, and hold her high, right? Because when a woman is in that much of her power, she can only give and pour more into you. And then it becomes this beautiful dance of give and take. But stop looking for the woman that's, you know, needy or that needs you, because that's some trauma in yourself too that you're probably trying to fulfill, right? And then we trauma bond. And I mean, I can go in so many different directions here, but
yeah, I mean, I know a lot of men like to be the knight in shining armor and they want to be the fixer, right? I understand there's an innate part of being a man that needs to have a purpose and a job. And the purpose is holding space for a woman, being able that she can trust you, that she can be vulnerable and know that no matter what she does, you're going to be there and you're going to be stable and you're going to be able to provide. And I don't mean just in the monetary. Providing means providing a space, providing love, providing all of those things. That is what they call, you know, a high value man. I mean, it's hilarious to me that this is just like this whole thing, you know. But that is what we women need from you, like you said. Because when you come from a place like fixer, whatever, and she's needy, like nothing's ever going to be full, like, or fulfilled. There's always going to be an issue. There's always going to be a problem because that's where she's comfortable living, even if she doesn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. She's comfortable in the drama or the need or the something, the next thing. And then, you know, the relationship is never going to be healthy, you know, never going to get there when you have that same repetition.
Yeah, totally. And I think men, like you said, they do want to fix. And I think as a woman now, being in my softer side, a healthy woman's able to let a man provide and give and become that shine, you know, knight in shiny armor. And I see now with my boyfriend, like I have to like consciously though, like sit back and be like, I need to let him do this because I want him to. But old Maria would have just like been like, no, I've got this. Oh, I want to pay for this. No, I can pay for it. You know, it's all these little things. So there's these extremes that we're living in. And you're right. It is funny that high value woman or man is like the foundational stuff.
Yeah.
Like how is this a new standard? It should just be like common sense. That should be the standard, right? It shouldn't be something new that we created. We should all come in whole and hold ourselves to a high standard so that other people can do it as well. And it'll be like a feeding, right? I don't know about you, but I don't love it when a man is like a pushover or will do anything I say or anything like that, because that just shows me he has low self-value, low self-esteem, and is willing to do just anything for somebody else, which is self-sacrificial. And that doesn't end up well either, you know?
Right. And I think what it comes down to, what I've been learning over the years, is boundaries, healthy boundaries. And that's got to come from both sides. The woman has got to hold, like you said a little bit earlier, but coming into that relationship and being very secure and okay with the things that you will tolerate and that you will, and knowing who you are and who you are looking for, and have those boundaries and be crystal clear with those boundaries. And oh, well, you know, just maybe if he does this, then I'll just push it out a little bit. No, because every time that's on you. So, and guys too, have your boundaries. Like Maria's just said, she doesn't want someone who's going to be a pushover. Like she wants to know that you are secure in who you are, because that is attractive. It's not even that it's attractive. It just, you know, that no matter what, he's not going to stray. He's not going to be easily influenced. So, because if you are, I can't trust you.
Right. If you're letting me guide the ship, like who's to say that somebody else isn't going to try to guide the ship and you're just not going to go along with it. Mm-hmm. I love it when my boyfriend says no to me, or he says, no, I have a better idea, or I think we should do this way. I'm like, yes, please lead, because it's not in a controlling way. It's more like I heard you, I listened to you, but I also have better ideas. Can you listen to this and be open to this? And it's like, okay. Yes, I can, you know, and it's a back and forth. And it's, like I said, it's a beautiful dance that we both as female and male have to learn. And like you said, those boundaries are so important. And as women, I love everything I talk about is self-led, and I bring it back to us, but we are the gatekeepers of emotions. We get to steer that ship in a relationship. My man can provide and, you know, lead and whatever, but I am the gatekeeper of emotion. If I can't control my emotions, or not, I hate using the word control, if I can't learn to master my emotions or have enough, you know, self-awareness around them, I will be explosive around him. And a man doesn't like that, because if a man doesn't know what he's walking into, he will never feel fulfilled. He will never feel like he did a good job. So it's our responsibility as women to understand ourselves well enough so that we can speak to a man in a soft, loving, caring way, because that's the only way a man wants to be spoken to. I don't care. I mean, that's how the way any person would want to be spoken to, right? But especially a man, because a man feels he has to provide. He has to be, you know, the savior. He has to come and help you. So if you are explosive and you're saying, you know, you did this to me and you make me feel this way, instead of really taking ownership for your emotion, you will shut that door in that man, and he will never give you that emotional intimacy that I said earlier that we crave.
Oh my God, yes. You just like nailed it. He will never, the moment he opens up about anything that's emotional or sacred in his heart, one time as women, if we shut it down in however way that we shut it down or don't allow it, he will never do it again. He will never bring that up again because it's one and done for them.
Yeah,
it's very hard for them to open up, let alone they need to know that they have a soft, nurturing, vulnerable space just as much as we do. And so, yeah, it's different for women. We can kind of like, we'll try because we're just emotional beings and live in that space where that's very hard for them to tap in. And I find that a lot of my clients come to me and they're so open and honest because I don't judge. I literally am not a judging person. I don't care what your past is. I don't care about anything, just as if you're happy and confident and all these things. And so they tell me right away, but they said, you know what, maybe you're like the second person I've ever shared that to, because they feel non-judged and safe.
Right. And I think we're responsible to create that emotional space within ourselves first and then in a relationship, because it's a beautiful thing when you're able to give that to a man, because then he can show up for you the way you want him to show up for you, right? And I learned through my relationship therapist that using you statements is like a big no-no. You have to use I, right? That's taking responsibility for us. So when a man does something that we don't like, most of the time, it's not because they're like purposely trying to piss us off or hurt us, right? Like you were saying, men are different than us in the way that they feel emotions or they can express it, because men see everything in, another relationship coach told me this, they see everything in boxes, right? We're me and you women, we're all interconnected. We can see a pair of glasses and connect it to a pair of glasses we saw last week and the color that we saw in some other girl's shirt, and everything's interconnected and like interwoven for us. For them, they can compartmentalize everything. So if we're not able to just kind of like say, hey, this is how I feel, and instead we hold things in, like you were saying, and then one day we explode, they have no idea. I mean, how many times do you hear men saying, well, I had no idea that we were going to get a divorce, or this breakup came out of nowhere. But for us, we're like, we have this whole list, like, you know, November 2nd, you did this. Last year, you did that. Because everything's so connected for us and, you know, interconnected. But for them, it's like, well, you never told me. You never came to me with this one specific issue, because that's how they think.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I'm laughing because, you know, you see this all the time. But I think as women, we need to be more clear with what we're feeling in that moment and let them know. And like, because we're like, oh, he just knows because we were still in a fight from 2 weeks ago and he should just know I'm still pissed off. No, he doesn't at all. There's no correlation for when you just flew up and this something happened 2 weeks ago and you're still holding on to it. And that's not working for either of you. The woman's still holding on to it. She's still pissed and he's like clueless. So
yeah. And totally. And I want to touch on that, because I'm sure women are hearing this and they're like, well, I've tried talking to him. Well, have you really though? Because if you are talking to him still charged with emotions, you're not talking to him. Your ego's talking to him, right? It's not your true authentic self. None of us want to be vulnerable. But when you get back, so like I was saying earlier, how I talk to people and I layer back to what the true emotion is, like what's that foundational emotion? It's something usually from your own childhood. So there's nothing my boyfriend can do that I can't take responsibility for, or that he can do that hurts me that I can't bring back to, why did this hurt me? Like it's something that I can take responsibility on and be like, where am I feeling triggered and where did this come from? And then I can vulnerably say, hey, I'm sure you didn't mean it this way, but earlier when you did this, it really triggered me because when I was a little girl, my mom used to do that and it really hurt my feelings. So I know it's something I still want to work through and I'm trying to work through, but I just want to let you know it hurt my feelings. Totally different conversation than, you asshole, you hurt my feelings. Why'd you do this?
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to, right? Like we all have to take responsibility for ourselves because although we couldn't choose how we grew up and what emotions are stored in us, we get to, as adults, have enough self-awareness to realize, okay, this is how I feel. It's my responsibility. And like you said, healthily communicate that to your partner or your friends, anyone around you. If you want a healthy relationship, it starts with you. You have to be healthy.
Yeah, 1000%. And then obviously mastering communicating with your partner, because that will every time save so much energy, so much, like you said, if you came to him in a different way, because when you come with an I statement or you ask a question versus the blame or the you or the blah, 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 everyone shuts down, guy, girl. Because when you're attacked, you're feeling attacked, most people shut down.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really interesting how even myself, how I throughout my relationships, the things that I did and allowed. And I think we do have to sometimes go through those till we find, you know, that guy or that girl or whatever. And it doesn't, I'm not saying you have to go through all these miserable relationships. You and I are here to try to lessen that. But a lot of times, like, we just don't have the tools. And so you're like, okay, well, I definitely know that I don't want that.
Yeah.
But then you really got to, like, come to you, Maria, like all of you ladies listening, and like go to her and say, oh, how do I really know what I really want?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure you helped them figure that out.
Yes. Getting really clear and concise, because like you said, if we go into, I know what I don't want, now we have this huge list of things we don't want, but we don't want them because they're triggering to us, right? So let's get really clear on why it is that we want a certain man. Is it to fill our voids? Is it because we don't want to be triggered? Because no one's going to be perfect. So we have to get really clear and concise to what it is that we want from a whole place first. Because if not, you're going to keep attracting the same people. I mean, I think you've just had a real insight pop up on Instagram. You know, do you find yourself repeating the same patterns and dating the same type of people? Right? When do we decide, you know what, enough is enough, let me break this cycle? Because I'm sorry, men especially, if you're listening to this, a lot of men are like, oh, I dated a crazy woman and I dated this crazy, you know, we hear men say that a lot about women, this crazy, but you bought tickets to that circus, you know?
Oh, yes.
And you keep buying new tickets to a new circus, but it's still a circus. So let's all take responsibility to, why am I still doing this? And why am I repeating these cycles?
Yeah. And I think that's the first and foremost is like self-realization, because I think a lot of people, it's them. It's like the crazy show. Well, like if it's happened twice, then that's more than it should have. Right. So Start looking at yourself. And sometimes it's not easy to look at yourself and look at like, oh shit, that was me. Or that's my own issue or my own insecurities or my things that I need to work on, so that my next relationship, this won't happen again. I might get triggered, but at least I know, recognizing that that's a trigger, that's not the person, like happened to you.
Right. Because we will end relationships if we get triggered enough and not realize and not stop it ahead of time, right? Like our traumas will end every relationship, man or female, if we don't get to the bottom of it, right? If we don't get to the root of it. And sometimes a lot of people find healing in relationships. Sometimes for me, I mean, I did go through a few relationships where they were healing and I had a lot of breakthroughs, but this is probably my first healthy relationship that I'm in. And it's crazy that it took me 30 years to have a healthy relationship.
You know what? I still haven't found mine. So you know what? I'm so happy for you. I think I see you sharing a little bit with your man on Instagram. And it's really nice to see what healthy looks like. It's one thing to say, this is what it should be like, but it's nice to see what it looks like.
Yeah. And it's been a lot of hard conversations, like points where I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable. I can't believe I'm going to say this to him. What if he rejects me? What if he says, well, I don't care. What if he, you know, all these stories that I've made up in my head in the past. And it's in those discomfort and in that discomfort and in the uncomfortable conversations that we've grown the most and being closer together in that sense. Well, we have a long distance relationship, so we've had to have a lot of tough conversations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what does that look like for you? I mean, are you at the point, I don't know how long you've been together or where, I mean, it's not all about the time, but it's like, you know, how the relationship is. But are you wanting to get out of a long distance relationship and like be in the same place, or are you okay with where it is?
I think that's what we're going to work towards, especially next year. We don't have like an actual time frame. I go back and forth. So I'm coming here for weeks at a time. And for me, it's really important talking about those boundaries, right? It was really important for me not to lose myself in this relationship. And that's a fear of mine that I told him from the beginning, because I knew that I was going to operate out of that fear. So I needed him to know that that fear was lingering and that it's something I'm going to work through. But losing myself in my relationships have been my MO in the past. It's been my toxic cycle. So in the past, I probably would have already been living here, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But slow and steady for me wins the race at this point, because I have to do things that feel right to me and for both of us. But when you're on the same page with somebody, it doesn't feel like you're pulling teeth or you're, you know, like no one's going too fast or too slow. We're both on the same page. So we don't have a concrete date, but it is something we're both working towards. And that's nice, right? And you'll laugh because he brings it up all the time. But when I started dating him, I was like, I'm never moving back to Wilmington. So I don't know where this is going to go, because
it's so funny. I've been there. My sister-in-law, her family would go to Ocean Isle every summer. So my family, now that we're married, and so her family went a couple years, but I was like, oh, this is interesting. I mean, it's cute, but it's like, you know, coming from New York City, Los Angeles, they like, I'm just like, yeah, okay, well, it's very interesting. Wilmington has two airport terminals.
I know. Definitely. And I lived here for 6 years, and it's funny, we didn't date when I lived here. We dated after I moved away. So it's interesting how things happen and how they work out and how they're supposed to work out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? I just want to say one thing, because I want people listening here, because a lot of people who do listen are a little bit older, like or midlife, like let's say 40 to 60 or 35 to 65. I don't know. Let's just push it out that far. It's never too late. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many relationships you had that are, you know, that didn't work out, because you're still here on this earth. You still have time to live happily and meet your person. So you're never too old. So I think that's like a lot of the stories I hear is like, well, I'm 55. Like, I'm just going to give up. I'm like, why would you give up? So just know 33, 21. I mean, that's a little young, but meaning life experience, but it's never too, you're never too old to meet your person.
Totally. And don't ever close yourself up to love. It's the most beautiful thing we can do as humans. And we let love kind of break us down sometimes because of the heartbreak. Mm-hmm. But in the heartbreak is where we get to choose how we want to open ourselves up to the next person, right? After we heal and we really understand ourselves. But you're right. I don't die at 55. Don't close yourself off at 60 or 80 or however old you are, because love is beautiful. And that connection, we're all here to feel connected and to really just enjoy life to its fullest. And love is the most beautiful emotion that we can feel.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, I have one more personal question for you, and then I want you to tell everybody where they can find out more about you and your services and offers. But what was one of your favorite dates, and what was it?
A favorite date? Oh, man. You know, honestly, my first official date with my boyfriend was just so perfect and so amazing. Like, the conversation flowed. We had great banter back and forth. And I think it was just the energy that I was in that made it extra special. Just allowing myself to even be there, right? Because it was right after my breakup. And even though I wasn't ready, and we actually took some, that'll be another episode, I guess, but it was an amazing date. And I still think about it now. It felt very light and airy. And I think when you're around the right person, it feels different. You don't get that nervousness. You don't get that, your nervous system isn't activated, right? It's almost like a soul recognition. You're with the person that your soul recognizes. So I could have been anywhere. The restaurant was amazing, but I could have been anywhere and it would have been just as amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think like that connection that you have and experience in that moment, you're like, okay, this hands down, it feels right. And you listen to yourself. I mean, that's probably was a big thing for you too, right? Like ultimately, like we listen to really our gut, but every time it's right.
Yes. Our intuition doesn't lie. That's for sure.
Yeah. Where can listeners here find out more about your services? And I know that you have a free masterclass for women that's coming up. And
yes,
I'll let you share.
Yes, I'm super excited about this program. It should be releasing here in the next couple of weeks. Don't know when you're going to air out the episode, but it will be on my Instagram. You'll be able to find it on my bio link. And it's Tapping Into Your Own Power. And it's a free dating masterclass that I curated for women specifically, because it's going to help them get really clear and concise to who they want, who they are, and get out of that need and that scarcity mentality so that you can attract the person that you're meant to be with. And then I also go into holding your standards and really treating yourself like a queen, right? Being the one that got away or the one, there's no in between. So I'm super excited about launching that program. And you can find me on Instagram, maria.fuentes. I think it's an underscore maria.fuentes underscore. And then I also have my Self Mastery with Maria podcast that's on all platforms.
Amazing. I love that. That's so great. I'm so excited for your masterclass. You'll have to tell me more about that. Well, I'll check it out, of course, but you'll have to tell me more about that. But again, thank you so much for being on the show. So and I know everybody learned so much today, but amazing. I hope you have an amazing day.
Yeah, thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to support podcasts like ours, then please hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and or invite others to listen. Your support is what helps us grow and continue to bring you valuable content. Thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. Let's stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's discussion. For all the links, resources, and additional information mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes on my website, celestemoore.com. That's all for now, but stay tuned for our next episode where we'll dive into more exciting topics. Until then, see you next time, friends.